You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come into our world to show us exactly how big our God is. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the question about how big is God is one that we kind of feel like we know. If somebody asked you how big is God just kind of randomly on the street and you weren't thinking about it too much, you would probably go along with the kids. You would say, well, God is big. God has to be big because God is everywhere. And if God is everywhere, if he's omnipresent is the big fancy word for that. If he is everywhere, well, then he has to be, well, kind of big because that's big. Everywhere is a big thing. And then we start to think about his power. And when we sang that first hymn, we're talking about how God is almighty and how he's got this power. And we think about all of that power. And we think about, well, power is kind of big. Because the big things in our world are the things that have power. I mean, you think about things like semi-trucks and aircraft carriers and big dragons in House of the Dragon on HBO. And you think about all of these big things and how powerful they are. And you start to think, okay, like God has to be big because God is powerful. And so in our world, we kind of equate those attributes of God with his bigness. But the problem with that is that God is spirit, and we are matter. And because we're matter, because we are these beings that have this experience of living in our reality where we have things like how big we are, we have height and we have depth, we have breath and we have depth, we have all of those things. Well, because of that, we tend to think about God in a way that is bound to matter. We think about God in a way that equates him with our experience of the world. But if God is really spirit, then he sort of transcends our understanding of physicality. And that starts, our heads to think in a way that if you think about it for too long, blood starts to trickle out of your ear. Because you, as a matter-bound individual, you as somebody who lives a human life, you're not able to very easily think outside of the box of your own experience of life. Your own experience of life is one in which you know that some things are big and some things are little, and that matters. You know that some things are soft, and you know that some things are hard, and that matters. And yet, God is spirit. He's not bound by those things. He transcends those things. And Jesus even shows us that when he raises from the dead, and he does stuff like walk through walls. He's not bound by our silly little conventions of physics. Sorry for all of those of you that did really well in physics. Is going to have kind of a limited ability to explain God because God transcends that. But there is this sense that he's big, and the sense that he's big, it shows up in several places in our readings today. We start off with that reading from Genesis. The flood has just occurred, and the people that were on the ark are now being let out of the ark, and God is giving a promise to Noah and to Noah's family. He's giving them a promise, and he's kind of giving them a signature, and his signature is this rainbow that's in the sky. And this, the signature is this rainbow. He's saying, I'm establishing my covenant with you. I promise never to flood the earth again in this way. And he says, and in order to show that, I'm going to sign it with this rainbow. And every time you see that rainbow, it's going to remind you of my promise to you that I'm never going to flood the earth again in this way. That's what the rainbow is supposed to be. And everybody looks up into the sky and they see the rainbow and they go, man, that thing is really big. And if that thing is really big, well then that must mean that God is really big. If God makes the rainbow. Of course, the issue with that is that, as you maybe know, if you did okay in physics, is that that rainbow doesn't actually have a size. That rainbow is a illusion. That rainbow is a refraction of the light, and how big or little it is depends on how far away or close up to it you are. Well, and that's kind of like God in some ways. And then you move on and you read that kind of repetitive psalm that we just read. And you think about all of those things that are in that psalm. And you think about the things that the people were thinking that, you know, God created all of this stuff. He created all of this big stuff. He created the sun and the moon. He created all of the heavenly beings. And you go, well, in order to create all that stuff, God has to be really big. And even with our sort of understanding now of modern science, we know that our sun is actually not the biggest sun. It's actually sort of dinky compared to a lot of the stars out there. In fact, the largest star that we know that we can kind of measure is this star that has a great name. This great name for the star is Canis Major. If you know anything about Latin, that means that the name of the star in English is Big Dog. And Big Dog is so big that if Big Dog were our sun, the sun would actually go as far out in our solar system as Saturn. So we would be like right burning to death. And we think about that and we go, oh, well, if God made Big Dog Star, whew, man, he's got to be huge. Because we still kind of think in that way, in that way that, okay, well, God has to be big because he made big stuff. And then Paul brings us into Ephesians and he mentions a kind of different bigness. He mentions right away in his letter, he's kind of coming towards the end of the first half of his letter to the Ephesians. So the first half of the letter to the Ephesians is all about Paul just gushing about how amazing it is that there is a church in Ephesus. I mean, he just can't get over it. He's like, oh man, there's a church in Ephesus. And it's got Jews and Gentiles in it. This is crazy. It's so great. And he's gushing and gushing and gushing. And here we are at the end of that kind of gushing moment. And when we move on into the rest of it, he's actually going to explain why these things are important. He's going to start to apply it. But right now he's just gushing and saying, this is amazing. And you know who did it? It's this guy named Jesus. And this guy named Jesus, he's so great because he's the Son of God. And God is the person from whom every family on earth is named. And that's kind of big too. And it's not big kind of in the way of being big in terms of like, oh, he's so big because he's so expansive. He's made these big things like stars and rainbows and all sorts of crazy stuff. But here, Paul is like, he's so big that every human being is called by his name. That we are all made in his image. That all of us have kind of a secret last name, and our secret last name is Yahweh. Because we're all made in that image, and that's kind of big. It's big in a different way, but it's still big. And so there's all of this bigness of God. All of this bigness that maybe you're kind of feeling right now. You know, it's Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, I mean, for Christians, this is kind of our hype hour, right? I mean, this is the moment when God, most likely for many of us, is the biggest. Because in this moment, we are doing something that in a lot of our hymns and in certain parts of Scripture, it's called magnifying God. And so what we're doing when we're hearing that our sins are forgiven, and that feels good because we know that we need them forgiven, when we're singing these songs about how great God is and how glorious God is, we're magnifying His name. We're saying, okay, this is really how big God is. We're getting a sense of His bigness. It's like we're looking at a rainbow and saying, wow, that thing is really big. And so if God made that, then God must be really big. Or we're looking at Canis Major and we're saying, oh, that thing is really big. And so if God is that big, then He's got to be really big. And then we get to the gospel reading, and we have this kind of moment that I think is relatable to us. Because here's the disciples, and they've just had this moment of kind of hype time with Jesus. I mean, Jesus has just fed 5,000 men plus a few thousand probably women and children with just five loaves and two fish. And you can imagine how big Jesus seemed in that moment. Wow. Something happened here, and this is huge. He took what was little and He made it big. He made it big enough to feed all of these people here. And if He was able to do that big work, well, then He's got to be kind of a big person. And that's kind of like our Sunday morning experience. That Sunday morning experience where we're praying to God, where we're feeling that connection, we're singing to Him. It's so, so good. We're taking His body and blood into our mouths. And God is big. But then this story comes up. This story comes up and the disciples start to get to work. This is like Monday morning for the disciples. And not only is it Monday morning, but it's a tough Monday morning. Because Jesus has just said, hey, I want you to go across to the other side. They said, we can do that. We're fishermen. We know how this goes. And they're rowing in order to get to the other side. And as they're rowing, Mark tells us that it's tough. It's hard. The wind is against them. They're really putting their backs into it. And Jesus is off someplace. He's not with them. He's off praying, doing His Jesus thing, talking to the Father. And as they keep on rowing, as they keep on getting busy, as they continue to be busy, well, Jesus is maybe getting a little bit smaller. He's maybe becoming not so important. We have that moment in our lives. We've got this Sunday hype hour. Got this time where God means a lot to us. And then we get to Monday or maybe Tuesday. Certainly by Wednesday, we're starting to see that God has maybe shrinked down a little. I mean, can you imagine Jesus coming upon the disciples, walking on the water? They think He's a ghost. They're freaked out. And He's looking at them, and He's noticing how small He has become in their eyes. Just because of a little hard work that they had to do. Of course, that's us too. God is really big. But when we get busy sometimes, He gets kind of smaller. We go, yeah, God, you know, I know, I was there on Sunday, it felt great, it was all good, but hey, I've got stuff to do right now. God gets small then. Now, thankfully, what happens in that story is that Jesus comes and He visits them. He goes, boo! Yeah, he meant to go past them. Mark tells us that interesting thing. He meant to go past them, kind of sneak by them, and then they saw him, and they're like, ah! And then he says to them, it is I. Don't be afraid. How often does God come into our lives and he needs to say that to us? Because he's gotten so small in our estimations. Because we've forgotten how big he is. And that's where Paul takes all of this as he's writing to the Ephesians. Paul is writing to the Ephesians about how they can know God through his Son. And how they can do this kind of weird thing that's, you know, it's sort of ironic. He says that, you know, you can start to comprehend God's dimensions. You can start to comprehend how tall he is. You can start to comprehend how wide he is. You can start to comprehend how deep he is. And yet, at the same time, Paul, in that same little section of Ephesians that we have, says that he is incomparable. Like we can't understand him. Like, it's like that moment where we see something out in the middle of outer space and we go, wow, that looks really big. And we, as of yet, do not have the ability to understand just exactly how big it is. It's what it's like for us and God. And the way that we understand that bigness that Paul is talking about is not in terms of, you know, how big the rainbow is or how big the sun is or how big the mountains are. But rather, it's in how big the act of God is. How big the act of God is in sending his only Son to visit us. To be with us. To shrink down to our size, if you will, and to die on a cross for us. Those are the things that show us how big God really is. That God's bigness doesn't have to do with his physical bigness. It has to do with the bigness of his love. It has to do with the bigness of his care. It has to do with the bigness of his power. It has to do with the bigness that he showed us in Jesus Christ. And when we remember those things, we begin to magnify his name all over again. We begin to see him in a bigger way. We begin to bring him closer to us so that in that perspective, he gets bigger and bigger to us. So that finally, he's all that we see. And that's where all of us are going to end up if we continue in the faith. We're going to have Sundays, and they're going to be hype Sundays. We're going to have Mondays, and they're going to be the opposite of hype. And those are going to continue to roll time and time again. But there will be one day, and who knows what it'll be like, if we're on a bed or if we're someplace else. But on that last day, that cross will get so close to our face that it'll be the biggest thing in our world. May you this week remember how big that cross is in your world today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.